are you using your kingdom equity? You're listening to The Christian Working Woman with Mary Lohman, and I'm Julie Bastide. If that's a new term to you, kingdom equity, then you'll want to keep listening because Mary's going to explain it. Mary, last week you began this message on kingdom equity as you talked about how God invests talents and gifts and skills and education in us, which he wants us to use for his kingdom.
I did, Julie. That's what kingdom equity is. It's God's investment in those of us who are part of his family, those who have been redeemed through faith in Jesus Christ, and in each of us, he invests all kinds of good things. And he really expects a return on his investment.
Right. I remember last week you talked about how even the education and skills we've gained that we use to earn a living, like accounting skills or computer skills, they're God's investment in us. And we're to use them primarily as a way to bring glory to him.
You know, it's amazing how God equips us at times when we don't even realize we're being equipped. Even when we were children or before we came to saving faith, he invests all kinds of abilities and opportunities in us. And then later we see how he uses those investments for eternal purposes.
It's really exciting to know that God doesn't waste anything. And even what may seem like an insignificant knowledge or skill we've learned can be used in kingdom work.
That's right. And today we're going to look at how God doesn't waste our sorrows or our troubles. They are kingdom equity too.
Great. So let's get started.
Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" You know, sometimes it's easy for us to take credit for our accomplishments, our skills, our education, our talents and abilities. But Paul reminds us that everything that we are and have is something we've received from God. Therefore, we should never boast about what God has invested in us, but we should be aware that all of this is kingdom equity, which we are to use primarily for God's glory, to advance the kingdom of God, not just for our own selfish gain. We talked last week about the kingdom equity of gifts and abilities, but this equity comes in another form too, kingdom equity of suffering and failure. We don't usually think of the difficult things in our lives as investments, do we? I mean, investments are good, positive things. If I make a financial investment in a real estate or stock or whatever, I'm making an investment that I trust will turn out for good, that will reap profits and benefits for me. I expect my investments to do me good. I make them in good faith that they will bring a profit in the long run. Can it be true that the hard things you've gone through, the difficulties you've encountered and the heartaches you've known, even your sins and failures, can be seen as God's investment in you? How can that be kingdom equity? I ask you to think of anyone you know who is effective in the kingdom, who has not gone through some difficult situations, who does not have some kind of baggage from his or her past, whose life has always been easy and trouble-free. It is these hard things that drive us to know God, that keep us humble and show us our total inadequacy and force us to depend on God. Yes, they are kingdom equity that God has allowed in our lives for his purpose. And they include such things as your childhood experience. If you were deprived of what you needed as a child, love or protection, security or safety, any of those basics, and instead you were abused or misused or abandoned or ignored, that's kingdom equity. Your health issues. Maybe you face some real health fears, cancer or some other diseases or disabilities that have been very difficult. That is kingdom equity. Your financial hardships. You've lost a job and you faced month ends without enough money to pay your bills. That is kingdom equity. Your unfulfilled dreams and hopes. That man or woman you wanted to marry never came along. That child you wanted to birth and you couldn't. Those are kingdom equity. Broken relationships. That marriage that fell apart, or that friend or family member who is estranged or distant from you, again, kingdom equity. disappointments in people, that adult child who's left the church and the truths you taught him or her about God, that friend who betrayed you, that boss who fired you. More kingdom equity. Significant losses, that parent who died, or mate, or child, or close friend. Kingdom equity. Unfair and abusive treatment from a mate or a boss or a friend. Kingdom equity. Sins from your past. Yes, even those things of which you are ashamed, those times when you chose to live in sin and stray far from God, they are kingdom equity. All of these are kingdom equity that God wants to use for good in your life. I know that sounds almost flippant, or it seems to trivialize the pain and suffering of your life, but just the opposite is true. It means that although God is not the author of all those investments, and he never condones sin or evil, and it is never from God, still he doesn't waste anything in our lives. And so as we begin to see these things as kingdom equity, then we see that our God is so great that even our sorrows or our sins or even the abuse you've suffered or your failures can have meaning and be used for good. We are so prone to say, God is good, when something favorable has happened to us. A friend just got a job after a few months of unemployment. We say, God is good. A baby is born without any problems. We say, God is good. A journey is traveled without any accidents. We say, God is good. We got money back from our income tax and we declare, God is good. We got a report back from the doctor and the lump is benign and we shout, God is good. Are those signs of God's goodness? Absolutely. But what about the hard times and the disappointments and the bad news? Are we just as quick to affirm that God is good? All the time? When Job's wife suggested that he curse God and die, he said, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" If we could orchestrate our lives from the beginning to the end, or our children's lives, there would be no trouble or hard times in our symphony, would there? We'd make it easy and comfortable and trouble-free as possible. So why doesn't God orchestrate our lives that way? Wouldn't it be easier for us to do our good works God planned for us to do if our lives were not filled with anxieties and difficulties? That's how we think, isn't it? That's the American dream. This is where your theology comes into play. This is why you need to be a theologian, a person who's striving to know God better and better. It is your doctrine, your knowledge of truth, that will give you an eternal perspective. Let me ask you, do you really believe that the details of your life are under God's control? Does anything ever happen to you that takes God by surprise or catches him off guard? Is he ever having to rewrite the script for your life because his first draft just didn't work out the way he planned? The truth is, everything in your life is plan A with God. It's all plan A. Whatever has happened to you, is happening to you, or will happen to you, is already written in his book, because all of your days were written in his book before one of them came to be. And yes, that includes the evil done to you or by you, the failures of your own or of others that have made your life difficult, the harmful and hurtful things that have happened to you, the sins you have committed willfully, the times you've gone astray and disobeyed, all of it was written in his book. It's all plan A. Now that simply means that he doesn't waste anything in our lives. He uses everything that's happened as a means to display his glory. All of that junk and the stuff you would have eliminated from your life story if you had written it, all of it is his mercy in disguise to you. He has been merciful to you and he has invested in you kingdom equity. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? What kingdom equity are you wasting? What part of your past or your present have you put in the category of not good or not fair or shameful or embarrassed and therefore tried to hide it somewhere? Maybe you've tried to hide it from others as well as yourself, or you've let it sit there so long that bitter roots are growing in your heart, and those bitter roots are causing trouble and defiling you and others. Or you've allowed yourself to live in the lie that God can't really use you like He uses other people because of your past. Joseph said to his brothers who had tried to kill him and had sold him into slavery, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." The thing about this kind of kingdom equity is it's very difficult to see how God can use it when you're in the middle of it. It's only usually in hindsight that you can say, "God meant it to me for good." So that means that when you're in the middle, you have to walk by faith and not by sight. You have to decide if you're really going to trust God or not, against your feelings, against your emotions, against what you see and touch. Philippians 3:10 is a prayer of Paul's that we should pray very cautiously. "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death." What does he mean, the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings? What fellowship is there in sufferings? Think about it. When you suffer with someone, you create a deeper relationship than just by working with them or even living with them. Companionship in sorrow forms the most enduring of ties. Afflicted hearts cling to each other and grow like each other. We have the opportunity to get to know Jesus far more intimately through hardships and suffering than any other way. When you are allowing God to use all His kingdom equity in you for His glory, this is the abundant life that Jesus came to give you. This is what brings meaning to every aspect of your life, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. Nothing is wasted. And you will find that the pains and hurts of your life can be used for good, as well as all your experience and education and skills. And then what you discover is that your worth is found in using your kingdom equity, doing the good works He intended for you to do. I often think of Johnny Tada. You all know her, I'm sure, and her story of how she became a quadriplegic at a very young age. She was ready to die. She thought her life had ended, right? But think of how God has used that woman through all these years in a wheelchair where she can hardly move her hands. She has to draw with a brush in her mouth. But through her, there's been a great ministry, Johnny and friends, and she has blessed so many lives. She used it for kingdom equity, and we can do the same thing.
These are really good thoughts for all of us, Mary, to remember that God doesn't waste anything in our lives, even the bad and hurtful things. It all can have meaning if we see it as kingdom equity.
I think that's true, Julie. I think of the 10 years of my life, I did my own thing and was not living for the Lord. But now, with all of these years in ministry, I know that even those years, which look wasted to me, have given me an understanding and humbled me so that I can relate better to the people God brings in my path.
Well, this is the second part in Mary's message on kingdom equity. If you missed the first part, you can find it on our website at christianworkingwoman.org. Anytime you're not able to listen, you can find all of Mary's devotionals on our website. You can also find our program using one of your favorite audio players. Just search for The Christian Working Woman. If you've been blessed by this ministry, we'd love to know about that. So please share your story with us. You can contact us through our website, ChristianWorkingWoman.org, or give us a call at 630-462-0552. I'm Julie Bastide, thanking you for your time with us today and inviting you to join us again next week for Mary Lohman and The Christian Working Woman.